running through my head all week. And I was going to play it for you, but my iPhone refuses to talk to the speaker. How many of you know REM's "It's the End of the World as We Know It, But I Feel Fine"? It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. Right, it's this really upbeat song. The rest of the lyrics make no sense whatsoever. I read them all, and I still don't know what REM is singing about. But this week, being given the second apocalyptic text in 3 weeks, today is part of that same larger story that we read 2 weeks ago from Luke, in which Jesus describes the coming of the day of judgment, and he talks about what will happen on that day. A couple of weeks ago, we had people fleeing into the hills and pray it will not be winter. This is part of that whole larger story, that whole larger passage. And this week, Jesus decides to warn them all that they won't know when it's coming. So having just described war, nation making war upon nation, people fleeing into the hills and how terrible it will be, Jesus says, but about that day and time, no one knows. If that brings you comfort, then you're not with me. I'm like, oh good. So not only is the day of judgment coming, but we don't know when. If we do not know when this is going to happen, which is, after all, exactly what the disciples are asking Jesus. The day of judgment is coming. God is going to act. When? When? Even if we remember that we want this to happen, we might have some questions about it. And what Jesus tells them is that even he doesn't know when that's going to happen. Which leaves us in the position, 2,000 years on, not only of asking when, but what in the meantime? If it hasn't happened yet, and we don't know when it might, what are we to do with this text? With the warnings that the day of judgment is going to come. Well, Jesus actually does tell us a little bit more than we might realize in this brief passage. The first is, despite the reference to Noah and all of us immediately going to the big screen version of flood sweeping in and drowning everybody, Jesus' focus in this story is not destruction, but what was happening. And that was, life went on. In the days before Noah, there was eating and drinking and feasting and people marrying and being given in marriage. People had children. People raised families. Just as in those days, life will go on. So first, while we're waiting for that day, life will go on. We are going to need to live ordinary lives in which we have to provide for our families, in which we raise children, in which we do all of those ordinary things of ordinary life. We go to work, we come home, we celebrate Thanksgiving dinner, we send kids off to college, they come back. We send grandchildren off to college, they come back. Life goes on. First, that's how it's supposed to be. But the day will come. The day is going to be there. It will be there suddenly and unexpectedly, and we're not going to have any warning. No one is going to be sending out an email from the church saying, hey, get your confessions in. Jesus is coming. So that means in the middle of that ordinary life, we're going to have to be ready for something extraordinary. Because it may, in fact, be the end of the world as we know it, right now. Or maybe in the next moment, or maybe after coffee hour, or certainly before we retire, or before we whatever comes next. We have to live each moment as though, in fact, the end of the world as we know it was right here, right now. But you know, that's actually an extraordinarily liberating thing. Because if you knew that Jesus was going to walk through those doors right as I finished my sermon, would you do things that you otherwise wouldn't dare? Would you perhaps tell the person next to you how happy you were that they were here today? Would you perhaps offer praise to God for something that happened over this week that got washed and caught up in the middle of that busy, ordinary life? Would you give something that you've been treasuring for years to somebody who would treasure it more? Would you be more generous? Would you volunteer? I bet you'd volunteer to run the chocolate festival, right? What would you do if you knew for sure that the end of the world as we know it is upon us and everything's going to be okay? Because that's what Jesus is calling us into, is to living lives that are daring and bold. Living in ways that put our trust in God's providence, in God's care for us, in God's taking care of our future. In ways that can be really hard for us to do when we're caught up in the middle of the busyness of life. Advent is that time when we are invited to imagine what that new world might be. When we are invited to live into the promises of the resurrection and the coming kingdom of God. Advent is when we prepare ourselves and remind ourselves that it's how we live in this life that is fully expressive of our faith in Jesus. It's not a coincidence that just a chapter from now, in chapter Matthew 25, that Jesus talks about what happens at the final day of judgment with the sheep and the goats. Do you all know that story? In which Jesus says, those of you who have fed the hungry and visited the stranger and welcomed the stranger and visited those in prison, you guys, you're going to come into the kingdom of God. Those of you who didn't, yeah, you're going off to that other place. These two things are connected. Because if we are keeping awake and living as though the day of judgment could be any moment, then what is stopping us from welcoming the stranger? What's stopping us from sharing what we have with those who do not have enough? What is stopping us from visiting the sick and those in prison? Especially those we know and love, especially if we know they're Jesus. Because if Jesus could walk through that door at any moment, now's the time. Putting it off till tomorrow, bad plan. Now is the moment when we know that the end of the world is upon us. The end of the world as we know it. And we feel fine. Amen.